don't talk fast.
Welcome to Yak Radio, the radio show that's about, well, who knows? It's a different topic every week, but Yak Radio is always full of information to help you and your family get through life. Now here's your Yak Radio host, Dave Stahl.
Don't talk back.
All right, but well, it's SDORC Dirt Radio's time to cover this segment, but I leave it as Yak Radio because that's what it is, and this one I give to them free and clear, and they love it. And we've got Audrey Mason out in Best of the Desert. We got Ed Stoven in the house. Right, and this here is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
And this segment is brought to you by West Escondido Auto and Trans, four locations. Just go to westautomotivegroup.com. There's one in El Cajon, one in Escondido, San Diego, Miramar Road, all AAA approved, all ASC certified, all NAPA Auto Care. You can't beat it. Check these guys out. All right, so we've got Edwards got his finger up, Audrey. So that and he's got his glasses on, so he must have something to say.
So before we had the Ford interview, we were talking about Oceano Dunes, and we were talking about what they're doing as far as opening the park for vehicle use. And we had talked about they offered three phases is what they're talking about. And phase one, they said day use only, no overnight camping. They talk about no green sticker vehicles, so you have to be street legal. And we don't like that. And then there's also a restriction to no more than 1,000 vehicles per day. And so there's no overnight camping. So we don't know how long that's going to take. So phase two, they're going to – oh, wait, before I get to phase two, on phase one, a lot of people had reservations. So if you want to stay at Oceano Dunes, you can get a reservation online. And an awful lot of people had reservations for the whole summer. And so what they're doing – and this is a quote from State Parks – I don't personally agree with it, but this is what they say. In order to give everyone a fair access to available camping, State Parks needs to restart the booking process at zero reservations. So everyone who had a reservation, they're throwing it in the garbage, and you have to start over. I get reservations for San Alijo State Beach, and I would hate it if my reservation got tossed out. Sometimes it's hard to get one. And when you get one, you treasure it. Oh, by the way.
Yeah, this is the same way. You got to book it 6 months in advance. It's the same way for Oceano. So that's going to just upset a lot of people.
So let's see. I got my reservation 6 months ago, and now they're not going to honor it. I don't understand that.
Did you have to pay for it?
Of course.
Yeah.
So you got your money back?
I don't know.
We'll see how they do
it. It doesn't say that they've given money back.
Well, of course they're not going to give the money back.
I don't know. We'll have to research that. Special events. I don't know if you knew that they have special events at Oceano Dunes. Friends of Oceano Dunes has a big barbecue there. And a 4th of July. What do they have? They have a poker run?
No, it's a desert cleanup. They clean the beach.
Okay. What's there to clean? Nobody's on it.
Before the virus. They also have a poker run in the area. And July 4th, I think it is. That's their big fundraiser. So special event applications are not being accepted at this time for both park units. Concessions. Did you ever go there and rent an ATV? They got a lot of ATV. That's really a great way to see the dunes. You get on an ATV and you can ride around. ATV, so concessions will not continue during the temporary closure. Phase two, so date to be determined. So they're not going to put down what date. Green stickers will be allowed in the park. Visitation will still be limited to 1,000 vehicles per day. And this says both for both park units. And I believe that means for Pismo Beach and Oceano Dunes. And by the way, we talk about going to Pismo. Well, officially, Pismo Beach is the state park that does not allow vehicles. And the one right next to it is Oceano Dunes that does. So I think that's what they mean when they say both park units. Camping. So this is phase two. A total of 100 camping sites at Oceana Dunes will become available to the public. Well, that's not very many camping sites. And that pretty much sucks. Phase three, again, date to be determined. State parks expands day use opportunities and camping inventory as environmental conditions allow and in alignment with state laws or state rules. So that's what I got for Oceana Dunes opening. And it sounds pretty weak. I don't like it. I am not ready to throw state parks under the bus, Sarah Miggins.
You may not be, but I will.
You go ahead. You guys throw her under the bus. I don't know if it's their fault that this is happening. And here's what's going on in state government, that the air pollution people and the California Coastal Commission have jurisdiction over this stuff. So they're above state parks. So if they tell state parks you have to do this, then state parks has to do it. So state parks has to walk a fine line between helping the visitors and taking care of these two agencies. So
Correct. They're
trying to walk the line. And if they can't walk the line the way we want, is it really their fault, or is it the air pollution people driving them?
And state parks should be its own entity. And when it's a state vehicular park, then they should allow the commission to speak on our behalf. And then state parks should not be mitigating at what happens at a state vehicular recreation area, state park, because unfortunately they're trying to change it from being a state vehicular recreational area to just like Yosemite National Forest and turn it into Yosemite National Forest for you to go hike all of those dunes.
There are definitely people that want to make it into a conservation area, a place where you can only walk, and they may not even let you walk in there. So there's an off-road vehicle commission, and there's a group of people, commissioners, who are appointed by the legislature, and they look out for the interests of off-roaders. They don't have any teeth. The commission not too long ago wrote a letter, a pretty strongly worded letter, saying that they're not doing enough to help off-roaders at Oceana Dunes. They don't have any teeth. They cannot force anything to happen. All they can do is make recommendations. And now the new head of State Parks Off-Road Vehicle Division, Sarah Miggins, she's very new. She's only been there since the beginning of September.
She's a deputy. And Armando Quintero is the head.
Okay.
He's the director.
So he's a new director of State Parks. And Sarah is the deputy director of the Off-Road Vehicle Division. So they are both governor appointees. And they can very easily be unappointed. So they both have to walk the line. Sarah very well may love off-roading. She may love having everybody who wants to go to Oceana Dunes get in, but she's got to walk the line. They have these other agencies looking over her shoulder, and if she pushes too far, well,
next,
she'll be unemployed.
All right. Hey, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've still got a whole lot more on SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to San Diego Off-Road Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
This segment is brought to you by Bumper Dock Santee, 8711 Magnolia Street in lovely Santee. If you got scratches, dings, and dents, you need your vehicle to do a lease return, take it to Bumper Dock first. Save yourself a bucket load of money. SanteeBumperDock.com, SanteeBumperDock.com. We got Audrey Mason. She's out at Best of the Desert. Ed Stoven stuck here with me. And we just been having ourselves a gay old time. And I think Ed...
So we have three different topics we want to talk about. Audrey has Cleveland National Forest and Glamis, the railroad, and I want to talk about the air pollution in the Mojave Desert.
All right, why don't you go first, and then we'll let Audrey pick up the next segment.
Okay, so SDRC has a lobbyist. Kathy Lynch supports us, helps us out in Sacramento. And I got an email from her on Thursday or Friday. And it said that the California Air Resources Board is meeting today by teleconference. It will hear a plan submitted by Air Pollution Control District in the West Mojave Desert for taking transportation control measures in order to gain compliance with national ambient air quality standards. Well, that's interesting because I never heard anything about it. Now, I represent off-roaders on the Desert Advisory Council, which is a part of the Bureau of Land Management. And Western Mojave Desert is definitely the Bureau of Land Management's jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I forwarded this to my contact in the BLM, in the Desert District Office, and they didn't know anything about it. So this is weird that the Air Resources Board is taking action in an area and the people who actually have control of the area don't know anything about it.
Wow.
So the board also, the Air Resources Board also announced it will hear an, quote, update on race, equity, and the California Air Resources Board's activities, unquote. Okay. You know, they're weighing in on this whole racial stuff going on.
What's that got to do with it?
I don't know. So
it kind of scares me because, you know, a lot of races happen in the Mojave Desert. I mean, you've got Vegas to Reno. You've got Ironman. You've got.
We're talking about a different kind of race.
We're talking about the race
skin,
as
color
in
of skin
color
races.
Of skin.
Oh.
I know.
I thought you said the Air Pollution Control District.
This is racist.
That's the point.
That's what's weird, that they're talking about races. So an assemblyman spoke up about this. His name is Jim Cooper, and he represents the southern part of Sacramento. He said, I am pleased that the response to our county's reckoning with much-needed conversations about race and equity, that the California Air Resources Board is holding a hearing on this critical topic.
Has nothing, okay. What has that got to do with Air Research Board?
Who the heck knows? But this guy. So, however, I am seriously disappointed in the clear lack of transparency regarding this so-called public meeting. As it is expected, the board will review a report and issue a resolution regarding a conversation that is important to all Californians, racial equality. Okay. However, details of this hearing and this report have yet to be published for Californians to review just one day before the hearing. Legislators have also been kept in the dark and given no opportunity to see the report or proposed resolution and how it will affect our constituents, especially our communities of color. So, this is just another point where the Air
Pollution Control Where did that come from? That had to come from somebody up higher than air pollution, right?
I don't know. Well, I mean, they're kind of a rogue sort of agency. They do what they want, and I guess the governor has to keep an eye on them.
Somebody had to. Audrey,
it has to be.
Wouldn't
the
somebody have had to say something to the Air Research Board?
This came from somewhere. I'm so confused in regards to what it is right now. It's not even funny. I'm going to have to read what it is that Ed has and see because I'm so confused.
I know. That's what I said. You know, what are you doing in the kitchen? You don't even belong in this kitchen. Get out.
So. No, and this gets back into the Air Pollution Control District reaching their hand into areas that they should not be, and putting their hand in the cookie jar that they should not be.
Yes, it's just weird that they're going after this. You know, I keep in touch with the Sierra Club, what they're working on, and they've had a number of points published about racial equality. It's I don't know. They're kind of weird group.
Well, it could be the number one thing for Oceano Dunes. I mean, $10 a night to camp there. You want to talk about being financially, economically stable? It's the cheapest place to camp in the entire state of California.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's a place where anybody of any race
can go and recreate.
You can go there for not much money.
I'm telling you, man, it's
So this guy, by the way, this guy who wrote this kind of scathing thing, the letter to the Air Resources, he's a black gentleman.
Okay.
He's a black guy.
Is he a politician?
He's an assemblyman. So he's a
yeah,
state
Jim Cooper, he's
legislative
an assemblyman.
Representative.
Okay, so he's upset.
And he makes and California law.
He's a Democrat, but gosh darn it, I like this guy.
I think so, too.
So again, I appreciate Carb making an effort to address systematic racism, but if they want to have a real discussion about racial equity, the communities that are impacted the most by their policies should have a seat at the table to discuss their experiences and with environmental racism. If they do not, it's more of the same. Rhetoric without any real action to address systematic racism and inequity for our most disadvantaged communities. So I look on this guy's website and I'm learning more about him. And he wrote something else that was pretty interesting. For a guy who's a Democrat and who's going all that, he says, California and the Air Resources Board are being sued, and they should be. Just 4 years ago, as part of the Natural Gas Act, we are supposed to be looking at how we can utilize natural gas as a clean energy source. Now, Enviro leaders want to move to all electric buildings. Californians already pay 55% more than all Americans for energy costs. So I guess why not just add to that percentage by getting rid of affordable natural gas options for families to heat their homes and cook their food. Also, who in their right mind likes cooking on an electric stove? This needs to end. Plus, how many working families have solar? I support climate change mitigation legislation, but it should not come at the expense of working families. I mean, you like this guy? I like this guy.
I like that guy. Well, he's talking like a true, what a Democrat is supposed to be talking like.
He's trying to look after the less fortunate people.
Well, and that's what Democrats used to be like.
That used to be their platform.
But not anymore. Well, they want to get rid of propane, natural gas, and propane.
Natural gas and propane are wonderful ways.
I know. They're
of
clean.
A better
it's
life.
A clean way to cook. It's a clean way to dry your clothes. It's a clean way to barbecue.
There's less carbon dioxide coming out of it.
But I want to know where the Air Research Board got this directive. That's what I want to know.
I got this. I wrote them an email. I said, what's going on with this? I looked at all over their website for anything with Mojave Desert.
Right.
The newest thing I could find was 2016. So
they're not even posting it.
I don't know what they're doing.
It's like doing deals in the dark in the middle of the night.
Like just what he said, they're not being transparent.
No. But
we're going to work on this. We have a lobbyist.
And you made her aware of
people.
It?
Oh, she sent it to me.
Oh. She's fired up.
So she knows about stuff.
Wow, I'm telling you.
She knows more stuff than
all
I do.
So what else you got on that?
That's all I have on that.
Okay.
I represent off-roaders on the DAC, the Desert
right.
Advisory Council, and I sent this over
to
them, and they hadn't seen it. I said, could you send it to Andrew Archuleta, the new manager? Oh, certainly. So he's got it. I don't know what
he's going to do about it.
He'll probably give a call to the Air Resource and say, what the
what
heck
are you
doing? You
get out of our kitchen.
At least tell me what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's work together as a team. Let's not, let's not just be independent.
The air pollution people, they think they have so much authority. They don't have to.
Oh, they don't have to answer
to anybody.
No.
And if the governor doesn't give them a hard time.
Well, yeah. If nobody says anything. See, but we, the people, need to be speaking up. That's why we're doing this show. And this is why.
We want to out these outrageous actions that these public agencies are doing. This shouldn't be, there's plenty of agencies we don't have any problems with. They
right.
do their job. Everything's fine. But I've been dealing with CARB for years, with the red sticker thing.
Oh, sure.
And now this with Oceano Dunes, they're just overstepping their authority and they're screwing with us for no good reason. I hate it.
Right. Well, and I think something needs to be done. There's got to be checks and balances for these organizations like CARB and Air Research Board. There's got to be checks and balances, but they're not. They just run roughshod and do what they want to do and whatever they can get past. We don't know if they're,
I may be complaining to my personal state senator,
yeah,
who's Tony Atkins. And for those of you who don't know how the legislature works, that the Assembly and the Senate, they have their own leader. And Tony is the leader. She's the leader of the Senate. So she's literally the second most powerful person in the state.
You need to send that to her.
So I'm going to be talking to her office about this.
Good.
So
yeah, I'm telling you, it's crazy.
You know, and it helps calling these people.
They listen.
I had a problem with the DMV, and you have to make an appointment. So when you buy a vehicle, you're supposed to register it within 10 days. So I go, okay, I get it. That day I go online, and I'm going to make an appointment. Well, the first appointment I can get is 24 days. So what am I supposed to do for those 14, I'm out of compliance. So I send her a note. Anyway, now the DMV, they can do a lot of stuff without you going into the DMV.
Right.
So I did. I sent her a letter. I'm saying there's a lot of trouble. I outlined stuff. You can buy a new vehicle, and you can register it without going to the DMV. You
right.
can actually do it online.
Sure.
That's brand new.
Well, the dealers can do it. If you buy
that's
a new car
new.
From the dealer.
No, I mean a used car.
No, I know, but if you
like
could.
I bought a dirt bike.
But I'm saying you can go to a dealer and buy a new car. They put everything online. Mm-hmm. Why can't you?
Well.
Why does it have to be new? Why can't
it
be used?
For all these years, we couldn't.
I know.
But now, and the DMV has just been behind.
Well, they've always
been
behind.
They didn't take credit cards or debit cards.
I know.
They only you need a paper check.
AAA used to be the same way. They only would take checks and cash. I go, what? Because I don't go to DMV. I go to AAA.
I think it was last year or the year before, 2 years ago,
that
there was a law that said the DMV is going to have to take credit cards.
Right.
I mean, why do we have to have a law that tells them?
I know. Well, because they don't have to listen to it. All right. Hey, let's take a quick break. We come back a whole lot more. We're going to talk to Audrey out at Best in the Desert. She wants to talk about Glamis and what's the update on the railroad crossing.
Yes.
Right here on SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
I can hear your voice saying, won't you ever learn?
All right, folks, welcome back. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment brought to you by 3D Products. You're looking to keep your investment clean and shiny, new or used, you need to go to smartcarcareproducts.com. They have anything and everything you need right down to deionized water, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They also have detail clinics. So you can teach your kids and your siblings how to take care of that investment. That is smartcarcareproducts.com, Facebook and Instagram, at 3D San Diego. All right, Audrey, so do you have any updates, or are you just filling us in?
Talking about Facebook and Instagram, you can go on right now. I literally, in the last 15-minute segment and the 15-minute interview from Ford regarding donating the new Broncos and having them specially built for the forest service and forest management, the last couple weeks I've been trying to get in contact with the Cleveland National Forest for our backyard playground, Corral Canyon OHV. The Valley Fire came in rather close to the OHV area. It did hit the Espinosa Trail, but not too much. You can actually see, if you go to Instagram or you go to San Diego Off-Road Coalition's Facebook, I literally just posted the area map of what it is. So this is going to be their planned reopening for it. This reopening would be because of the Valley Fire getting in there and getting so close to it. They did unfortunately have some COVID closures, but they had just reopened up 2 weeks prior to the Valley Fire. And so they are currently closed to the fire. The standard policy for the Cleveland National Forest when there is a fire across trails and for OHV access is it automatic 1 year closure. And so they announced that back on October 10th. So Corral Canyon that would officially be opening on October 9th, 2021. We just received word, and I got an official statement from the Cleveland National Forest OHV area manager, Richard Toll. And Richard Toll went ahead and made a public comment that I could share with everybody. And he said, you know, there was not very much damage done to the actual OHV area. It was mostly spared, and that the long-term effects are going to be minimal compared to the forest fire. The forest fire was back in 2007 when it took out half the OHV trails. And that the short term, there will be more specific information released soon. He says, basically, public safety is our number one prerequisite for providing access to all recreation resources. We are still experiencing critical fire conditions. That is really the main factor determining the speed of our work to reopen the OHV area. And as a lifelong off-road enthusiast himself, he completely understands that we want to get out there and ride now that it's fall and now that it's, you know, temperatures are cooled off and it's time to reopen it. San Diego Off-Road Coalition had worked with Tierra del Sol 4x4 Club, TDS 4x4 Club, as well as the San Diego Four Wheelers Association to have a trail maintenance day back on October 10th, obviously with a fire that had been canceled. And so we have reached out with them to see about getting access to Corral Canyon. Ed's familiar. He was there in 2007 after the horse fire happened. They contacted volunteer clubs like ours to go out and help to fence off the trails that had been burned so that people stayed on the actual trail and they didn't create any new shoot-offs and damage any sensitive habitat or sensitive areas, and they stayed on trail. So, you know, we brought in fencing and boulders and different things like that, gatekeepers to limit usage on to the actual trails. So we've talked about that, and they did say yes, there will be a point in time where they will be reaching out to us and calling for help from volunteers to go out and fence off some of the Espinosa Loop and one other small trail. And we'll definitely make everybody aware of that. We'll have plenty of notice when they get that done. And once we get it all fenced off, then we can look at reopening it and having it safe reopening out there. So I'm really excited about that. It doesn't look like it's going to be the 1 year, which is stated on the actual website. That's just officially what they have to do. That's their requirements that they have to do. But it does look like we are going to get Corral Canyon back, sooner rather than later. They are definitely working with us, and they know that we're itching to get out there and get some work done. I know when we were out on Bronco Peak the last time, I got a lot of new trail whisps on my Jeep. All the rain that we had last year, there's a lot of overgrowth in the manzanitas and everything. So we definitely want to get in there, get some trail maintenance done on the big trails. Stake off and fence off the damaged trails and get it reopened as soon as we possibly can since our season is here.
So, Audrey, I'm looking at the map and I see Bear Valley Trailhead, and it looks like you can access that from a freeway.
Yeah, that's right by Highway 8.
Directly off.
Okay, so that's Highway 8. About how far east is it from Alpine?
Bear Valley exit. That is the Pine Valley exit, right off of the 8th freeway. So from Alpine, I don't know, you're what, 10 minutes off the road?
Okay, so
like 10 miles.
I was just there. So when you take that exit to go to the restaurant, if you turn left, you go to the restaurant. But if you turn right, that's Bear Valley, right?
Yeah, it's a little, it dead ends right there.
Yeah.
It's a little U-turn area. That's the trailhead. The gate's usually open. You can take vehicles all the way up to the top. It's nice to go up there and have a little picnic. My husband's taking me up there for date night. Oh, yeah, it's got a great view.
What's the limitations of vehicles?
I mean, a stock vehicle could make it up there.
I can get up there
on
my Suzuki Sidekick.
If he can do it in a Suzuki Sidekick, he can do it in anything.
Now,
yeah, pretty much.
So four-wheel drives, they stop at the top, but motorcycles continue.
Yeah, I see the little broken line.
Can continue all the way to Corral Canyon.
Right, takes you down to Bobcat Meadow, Four Corner Trailhead, Corral Canyon Campground.
We've been asking for new trails from that Bear Valley Road up to Corral Canyon for a 4x4. Because right now, you can take a dirt bike, you can take a motorcycle. I mean, it's single track all through there. But there's no actual four-wheel drive.
It would be nice to be able to get a four-wheel drive. I've talked about that before. Could we get a separate route? I don't like the same for the motorcycle.
Well, I'm going to – next four-wheel drive I get from the manufacturer, that's exactly where I'm going.
Oh, it's a nice little – it's about, I don't know, what is it, at 4 miles up to the top?
Oh, that's it?
4 miles back?
It's not a little rough.
It's not very uphill, much.
But it's not like – there's no – hard boulders.
Yeah, and you've got a loop. You got the Long Valley Loop, so I imagine when you get to the to that, you turn right, go all the way around, or you can turn left and go all the way around.
Yeah. It's a nice little couple hour trip, you know. Give yourself about an hour to get to the top and an hour to get back, you know, and take a little lunch, take your wife up there and watch a sunset. Oh, it's just stunning.
So the McLaren, so you don't think the McLaren would work?
No, the McLaren would not work. His clearance is too low.
All right, so looking at the map, so if I go beyond Bear Valley Trailhead on 8, then we come to Secret Canyon at the Pine Creek Wilderness. Is that another area that you can enter or no?
I don't think so.
No, Secret Canyon, you can't really enter. That's more of a hiking trail.
Oh, okay.
To get up to Secret Canyon. Yeah, it's very beautiful up there, too. I've hiked it, too. It's stunning, but no, unfortunately.
That's all right. You're not seeing me hike. No.
Access for all, Dave. That's what we're here for.
You're more than welcome to hike it. I will sit and watch when you come back.
Yep, that's why I want a motorized vehicle. Give me a quad, give me a dirt bike, give me a four-wheel drive.
I'm definitely... Now, is Bear Valley real busy? Probably more so on the weekends.
Yeah, it gets... Like on normal times, the cul-de-sac fills up with people unloading dirt bikes.
How hard is it to get around people if you're going up the road if somebody's coming down?
Easy. There's plenty of space.
So it's wide enough?
Plenty of space, definitely wide enough.
If four wheels come both ways, you may have to jockey a little bit.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, it's not that you can't.
And Dave, when you get to the top, you can continue, but I wouldn't count on continuing with the vehicles that the manufacturers loan to you. Because they're not high and they're
well. If they give me a four wheel drive, like
it gets a little gnarly.
But if I get the new Bronco, I'm just going to go up
take it.
I'm just going to go up.
Do they care if it has a scratch underneath?
No, they don't care.
You should take the new Hummer. The electric Hummer. The Hummer would do nice up there, especially because it's got that option to have that. What is it? 6 or 9 inch extension lift up that it does.
Right.
Can you push a button and it goes up?
Right.
Like it's got an air ride.
But I tell you what.
It's a low rider down in the south.
They're only bringing it to me to put on TV. I don't think they're loaning it to me. But if they loan it to me, you look like you might be really sick Thursday.
Oh, I think I injured my
back.
And Ed's back is out.
My back.
Yeah, his back is whacked. So if they loan it to me, you will be notified.
Oh, thank you so much.
And we'll take it there. We'll take it to Bear Valley. We'll take it to the trailhead. We'll take the
Do we know if Bear Valley is open?
Talking about Corral Canyon, in 2007 when the fire happened, a couple of the clubs, Tierra del Sol, Bo Nice, he got in contact with Richard. They got into a lot of the fire-damaged area, and they were able to, because when it, you know, there's no bushes.
Right.
They were able to stake out. And then they paid resources to go in, and they had those checked for resources. You know, you got to think of your architectural, your biological, your all of that. Make sure that it's cleared, and then they were able to get a couple new trails done. Espinosa Trail, you're looking at that map right there. How far away is the Bear Valley Trail to the Espinosa Loop? It's not that far.
No.
And that burned. So we're trying to work behind the scenes and see if we might be able to get a new four-wheel drive trail from Bear Valley to Espinoza Loop. That would be awesome.
All right, well, take a break. Go back on your Facebook and set it up to where somebody could share that map, because when I hit send, it's just all the people I know, and I'd like to get it out to the general public, so I'll give you something to do. We're going to take a break, because you're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
All right. Well, we've been sitting here talking dirty with Audrey and Ed. Not Ed as much as Audrey, because Ed's.
You know, I love it.
I know you do. And Audrey
every racer I talked with yesterday. Hey, you want to be talking dirty with Audrey on the radio?
And you want to know why they backed up all embarrassed? Of course, you silly goose. I'm telling you, girl. I don't know.
Who wouldn't?
I think we've unleashed the animal.
Who wouldn't want to talk dirty?
So you're out
Audrey
at Best of the Desert. Ed's in studio with me, and it's about 10 minutes to 2, so the racing, I'm sure, is still going on, hot and heavy.
It's still going on. One of the races just started at 1:30. There's another race at 3:45 to wrap up the day today. They'll be calling out the championships unofficial today because it's Grand Prix style, so... It is the last race of the season for Best in the Desert, and they'll be releasing by the end of the week who their championships and point standings are and everything. So be looking forward to seeing that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Sounds like you're having a good time. Okay, so you guys got about 11 minutes. Anything in particular you want to close with, or should we just chat?
Let's talk about Glamis and the railroads.
Oh, yeah. Glamis and the railroads.
Yes. So the Safe Railroad Crossing meeting was held this week. There was two public public outreach meetings held basically by the Imperial County Transit Commission. And the Imperial County Transit Commission has worked with who they have called the stakeholders out as being the Union Pacific Railroad, the Public Utilities Commission, Caltrans, and ASA, American Sand Association. So that's who they are considering their stakeholders and who gave public input. You can Google right now, if you go to Google and you put in ICTC for Imperial County Transit Commission and Glamis, it will pull up the Safe Railroad Crossing portion of their website, and they are going to share the actual 1 hour public outreach meetings on there. They're going to list out all of the public comments that happened on the side. Basically, their public outreach was a 1 hour Zoom meeting and comprised of 45 minutes of them explaining what the feasibility study is, how it was drafted, how the points system worked, how they came up with the point system, and the four crossings that were addressed and looked at, basically. And the number one crossing that for the feasibility study would be at Wash 10, but it's an overpass. They are literally looking at constructing a bridge and putting an overpass bridge in at the Cleveland National Forest. At Glamis. I'm not very happy with it being a bridge. I think it's going to be an eyesore. I can see impending financial impact on registration fees, because when asked financially who would be responsible for this, it got brought back to the users being financially responsible for it. So I see some sort of fee increase for either the weekend pass and the annual pass or something along those lines. I was not happy that the Bureau of Land Management, I'm sorry, they are also one of the stakeholders. I believe I'm mentioning them. The the Bureau of Land Management, the Union Pacific Railroad, Caltrans. Not one of them had a representative on either of the meetings this past week. They had two meetings. One was Wednesday from 7 to 8 o'clock at night. One was yesterday morning between 9 and 10 in the morning. I did partake in both of them and listen to both of them. They basically repeated the same thing from the first meeting and the second meeting, but there were more people that were able to partake in the second public outreach meeting, so that was kind of nice. At this point in time, I feel like we got a study and we've identified areas, but I don't feel that they really listened to the public.
Audrey, what's your first choice if you could have
Wash
a railroad 10, crossing?
And
Wash
10? Wash 10, and that's what I was just going to say. Is
over or under?
Under. Reopen it. Reopen it now. Reopen it today. And why can't it be reopened today? They spent millions of dollars on this feasibility study, but they didn't look at re-engineering Wash 10 and having Wash 10 re-engineered so that it could be opened immediately. They say that they want it, their number one key thing is safe public access, but I don't feel that they are actually completing that with what's happened. Because the quickest, fastest, easiest thing to do would be re-engineering Wash 10 and opening that.
Just the same way we went through it years ago?
The same way. It was used for over 40 years like that. And
I went through there.
Went
over to Boardmanville?
I've been through there, too. And
me, too, actually.
You did, too?
Oh, yeah.
Went under there?
Absolutely. Over to Boardmanville? But I can't imagine going over a bridge and all that expense. Wait a minute. This is my money. You can't be spending my money like that when there's a, that's like building a house and you have a perfectly good front door and say, well, we need one right next to it because it's going to be better.
Yeah, you need a special fire
unfortunately.
Door.
That's just irritating.
And they said they can't reopen Washington because they don't feel that it's safe to cross under anymore because they say that particular wash gets the heaviest amount of flooding when it does rain out there. And gets
throwing
the most
my arms
amount
in the air like, what?
Okay, so it floods. Guess what? You don't go under it.
No one's out there when it's raining.
So I opted. I said, okay, well, why don't you call out local clubs like the San Diego Off-Road Coalition, American Sand Association, I know that there's a glamorous four-wheel drive club. I know there's a couple other glamorous clubs out there. Why don't you get the volunteers to rotate off weekends and being responsible to making sure that the sand's cleared out of there? I'm sure that there's clubs that would be willing to take it on because the number one thing of this, too, is, okay, we have a study, but who's going to actually take ownership of that bridge and who's going to actually make this happen? They had no response. There's not one organization lined up to actually put boots on the ground and start, any portion of this. So, okay, we've got a study, but what else, where do we go from here, So does that mean that now we have to file a lawsuit to have the court say who's going to take ownership over this to actually have a safe public crossing and have access to the public land?
I hope not. I don't want to be fundraising all weekend. Trying to pay for a lawyer to
but see that's the way this game is played, and if they can throw enough roadblocks in front of you, they just hope you'll go away.
Yeah, so unfortunately it looks like that's going to be the thing. There was no response when it came to who's going to actually take ownership of this program, who's going to actually be responsible for the long-term maintenance and the whole nine yards. So you've got the Union Pacific Railroad Company, you've got the Caltrans, the Bureau of Land Management, who actually owns the land. The Union Pacific has a permit, and they're only allowed easement through there. They do not own that land. The Bureau of Land Management does, which means that we, as the people, own that land. That is our public land that we are not allowed access to. So, who's going to take ownership of it? Is the Bureau of Land Management? Is Caltrans, because they did end up with the one, Wash 10 overcrossing is the number one, but they had two studies done at the 78. And if it was at the 78, they said it's more of a possibility of Caltrans actually taking responsibility for it. I believe one of the options was building a completely new bridge for vehicles and OHVs together to go over, which is just, I don't know.
Just a lot of money, spending a lot of money.
Exactly. And for what? Where do we go from here with this and with this information? And so that, I kind of felt like we didn't get much after the meeting. I felt like we, you know, there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered, and they did not have answers for them.
Did you say thank you very much for wasting my time?
No, but I did say thank you for hosting these public meetings at an appropriate time, not during work, because they held it at 7 o'clock at night, so it was from 7 to 8.
Oh.
And the other one was on Saturday from 9 to 10 in the morning on a Saturday.
Wow.
No other organization. I've done Air Pollution Control District. I've done CARB, California Air Resources Board. I've done California Coastal Commission meetings. I've done the OHV Commission meetings. Not one of them was held at an appropriate time. Every single one of them was held from 8 to 12, and you had to take, you know,
days
3 to 4 hours
half
off of work to be able to partake in these.
Be in a
meeting. Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
All right, kiddo. Well, hey, so go put your goggles on, get out there, and root your favorite driver on. We can't wait to hear next week how it all went. So you be safe, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Oh, no, I'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you, guys.
I'll see you Wednesday.
Wednesday morning. I will be at KUSI. I'll be there at 7 a.m.
All right. We'll talk to you later, folks. We're going to take this show and pack it away. You've been listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.